We used to have to go shopping for my mum. Len and me went on a Monday morning because mum was working and she used to leave us everything ready, breakfast ready and everything before she went to work. A nice fire lit, but we had a big fire guard around it. And I had to look after Len, naturally. I was just short of 3 years older than him. And we used to go down to the co-op, which was quite a long walk for us. But walking down Greenlee, there was a boy called Wally Thornton that had a little black dog called Nigger. Well, this dog used to run after me. I was petrified of that dog. And I'm saying, go away, all this. And Len used to shout for Wally to come and take the dog in. And then we'd go down Greenlee and down Woodlesford, down Midland Street, and go to the co-op with a list for mum's whatever she wanted. I don't know why it was Monday, but it was always on a Monday. And in the co-op, it was different sections for different things. There was the butchers at the co-op, there was the drapers, and then there was the food. From the ordinary food, there was flour and sugar in big bins, and you had to go in a little separate place for those. The sugar went in a blue bag, a thick bag it was, and the flour went in a brown one or a white one, I'm not quite sure which. And then we had to go get the groceries, but we didn't go to the butcher's co-op. We went to Willie Parker's, which was on the parade. But that didn't come on the Monday morning. We had to get that during the week.
And what did you do with the groceries that you bought while you went to school?
But to take them back home.
So you had to go all the way back home before you went to school?
Yes.
So you must have had to get up very early for
that. We did. Yes, we did. Mum got us up early before she went out to work because she had to go on a bus to Hunslet. She worked at a place, a blanket mill. And yes, we had to take it back home.
And were you late for school?
Never. I was never late for school.
So you must have been down at the shops about 8 o'clock then?
We were, as soon as they opened.
And did your mum give you the money, or was there some arrangement that she bought things on tick?
No, she gave us the money. And of course, at the co-op, you got a dividend. And you had a number. 1339.91 was my mother's number.
Were there other shops in the village that you went
to? Yes, we used to go to the fish shop and my mum would have a tail, a haddock tail I think it was, and we used to have chips, Len and me.
Where was the fish shop?
The fish shop was on Holmesleyfield Lane.
Where it is now?
Where it is now. We used to go to another one on a Friday. And that was Mrs. Carter, and that was a wooden hut. And that was down, at the bottom of Quarry Hill, really, and to the left, across the road where the parade was. And then there was Eli Harrison's fish shop at the bottom of Midland Street. Lovely fish and chips they were. But you always had to queue. I think everybody seemed to have fish and chips on a Friday.
What about bread? Where did you get bread
from? Bread from the bakers. There was two bakers in the village, Paley's and Taylor's. And you had to go queue there for your bread. You were allowed so many buns as well. Not many, but each person was just allowed so many buns.
Did you go to the shops in Woodlesford itself?
Yes.
Can you remember?
And that one? Yes, that was, it was two sisters who had this shop. And it was in two parts. And it was Mrs. Bingham and Miss Downs. One had the drapery side, the other had the shoe side. I think it was Miss Downs that had the shoe side. They were sisters.
And where was that shop?
And that shop was at the bottom of Midland Street.
What kind of clothes did you have when you were young?
We had school clothes. We wore, well, I wore, which quite a few of us did, long black stockings in winter and white socks in summer. And a kilt. I remember having a kilt and a jumper. Mother used to knit, you know, jumpers. And Len had short trousers, all up to him being ever so old, which they seemed to do in those days. Grey, they were always grey trousers, I seem to remember. No school uniform. But then at Whitsuntide, we used to get some new clothes, a new outfit. They were for Sundays. And then the others that we'd worn for Sundays, we could wear for school. So it was every Whitsuntide we got these new clothes. And then, of course, we had to have some winter clothes. And so they were really the only two outfits that we got.
And what happened at Whitsuntide?
We used to have to go round down to Auntie's and show her our new clothes. We used to go show different ones our new clothes, and they'd give us a couple of pennies or something, you know. I was 7 when the war started, and of course I didn't understand much about the war, except my father had to go away. He was in the army then, but before he went in the war, he was in the TA. He was stationed at Nostrup. He was sergeant, and they had tea for the sergeant's families in the sergeant's mess on a Sunday when he was at Nostrup. And Mum used to take us along to tea there to see Dad. There used to be Sylvia Cowling at the same time. She's a lady that I've known all my life in the village, and her brother, and her cousin, Joan Cowling, and her sister. Their fathers were sergeants, of course. And we used to all go there. But the thing was, Sylvia and her cousin always had the little bonnets on, lovely little bonnets. I always wanted one of those bonnets, and I couldn't have one for some reason, I don't know. And that was nice, and then the fathers used to walk us to the edge as far as they could go for us to walk home.
What was your dad doing there?
My dad was in the Royal Artillery, and he was with the guns at Nostrup.
So the war had already started when he got sent there, had it?
I think it must have, you know, I'm not right sure about but it must have for him to be away. Because I remember when he used to come home, I remember there being 24-hour leave and 48-hour leave. And I remember he always used to bring fish home with him to cook.
So when you went to Nostrup on these Sundays, did you walk all the way there?
Yes, we walked all the way there. There were no buses there, you see. And then when Dad and the other children's fathers had walked as far as they could, they gave us a kiss. I mean, we didn't do that in those days. You know, it just wasn't done, except for then, sort of thing. And then Dad had to go abroad. He went to the Middle East. Well, I really did miss him. It was awful him being away. And, of course, Mum worked. And Dad wrote us letters home, and we wrote to him. And there were things called airgraph letters that we wrote to him. But my mother used to write airmail letters.
And what did you put in your letters?
We told him all that we'd been doing, you know, playing games and what we'd done at school and as much as we could. And it was a really big sheet that we put it on, but when he got it, it was only a little square. And he used to send us them, and they were the same for us. They were only a little square.
Did you know where he was? Could he tell you where he was in Africa?
He was in the Middle East. That's all I know. But he was in charge of Italian prisoners of war. He made them do as they were told. When they didn't behave, you know, the Italians always, the door was lovely hair. They loved the hair. And if they'd been bad, he used to have them sat on a chair and he used to have the hair shaved off. And he made a football team up out of them. And they really respected him, you know. They made him a pair of shoes. And, I mean, he had those shoes for years after he came home and used to shine and polish them up. You know, he was so, he loved those shoes.
Back in Greenlee, where you are during the war, what can you remember about the war years then? What was different about the war?
Well, the gas masks, of course, we had to have the gas masks wherever we went, we had to take the gas masks, and the shelters, and if there was an air raid. I mean, really, we were lucky in this area to what other people were. But
did you go in the air raid?
But we did go in the air raid shelters, and we had an air raid shelter erected in the back garden, one of those corrugated ones. They built a big one on the green, a big brick one, well, they were dotted all over the villages. And we used to occasionally go in that. But at school, there was one at school, and we used to go in that when there was an air raid on. The children used to get up and say a piece of poetry or sing a song or something. I remember Velma Mountain with this joking little piece that she got up to say about Our Mary's bonnet. Hast'a seen Our Mary's bonnet? It's a stunner, and no mistack. Yellow ribbon, yellow flowers, and a feather stuck right down back. Last Sunday, Our Mary goes to church. All people gawped and stared, till at last Parson got up and said, "Mary, this is a house of prayers, not a flower show." Ah, Mary gets up enough to swallow all church and people in it. Said, "Parson, thy head's bald, nought in it and nought on it. What's like a flower out of my new bonnet?" No, you've got to say it right, you see. But Velma could say it fantastic.
What else about the war and the house?
The blackout, it was scary because I was always frightened of dark. If we'd been anywhere, you know, and it was really dark, there couldn't be any lights at all. And yet to have curtains up at the window that were black, that couldn't show any, a chink of light through. Nobody had to turn a lighter on for a cigarette or anything, strike a match. Everything had to be, it was just so dark.
Did you ever get into trouble for doing it wrong and having your light showing? Did anybody knock on the door?
No, we didn't, but I remember somebody did down, well, there was a man used to go around down Midland Street and he used to shout, "Get that light out," you know, to people if they had a bit of a chink showing. In the war, we had these evacuee families that had to come and stay for safety, really, because of our area not being too bad. We even had a boy at school And I remember his name, Donald McKay. I think he came from London. And there was a girl called Ruby with another family. And then we had a family from Great Yarmouth. They had a guest house and it was bombed. So they came up to us. Mum took them in. She was asked by the council. There was just Mr and Mrs Waddell and the daughter Jean. Mum let them have the front room as their room. And they shared the kitchen. They had two bedrooms. And Mum and Len and me had the big bedroom. They'd use of everything in the house. A very nice family they were.
And did they pay rent to you?
I think they must have done. Yeah, I don't know about money, but I think they must have done. And then, actually, they got Mrs. Waddell's mother and father to come up here in a house on Greenlee. And they were called Mr. and Mrs. Inch. They were elderly. He was blind and deaf. And he used to walk up and down in front of the house. A very nice man he was.
Was it stressful sharing the house with the Waddells?
No, it was lovely. It was lovely because Jean was, I think she was 2 years older than me. And she taught us a lot. And she used to play the games with us sometimes. And eventually, her parents paid for her to go to Rothwell Grammar School. Apparently you could pay for it then. And so she went there, but she had a bike. And she used to take me sitting on the saddle and her pedalling the bike. And their council house was a family called Gregg, a lady called Mrs. Gregg. And I know they paid her rent because Jean used to take me up on the bicycle with her to pay the rent.
So the Inches lived in the Greggs' house, but the Greggs had gone to live somewhere else?
Yeah,
they'd
gone
meant?
To live with relatives up at John O'Gorn.
Oh, I see. So they rented their house to the Inches.
Yes.
I got you.
Yeah. Mrs. Waddell could always read and knit at the same time. Read a book and knit. She was amazing. But bake. Every Sunday morning, she baked a table full of stuff. But anyway, in the pantry, half of it was theirs, the shelves, and half was ours. And this day I'd come home from school, and I was a little bit hungry, and went in the pantry, and there was this rice pudding in a little enamel dish. And I thought, I'll have a spoonful of rice, this rice pudding. Then I thought, I'll have another bit. And it was lovely, that rice pudding. I ended up eating a lot. And then Mum and Mrs. Waddell came home. I must also say that Mrs. Waddell worked with my mum at the blanket mill. And they came home and they must have wanted to eat the rice pudding, Mr. Waddell's, because it was theirs, not ours. So called me into the room. Audrey, have you eaten some rice pudding out of the pantry? No, no, Mum, no, Mum, I haven't had it. So when Len came home, oh, it must be Len. Well, as it happened, we'd had rice pudding at school that day. So Mum says to Len, did you enjoy that rice pudding, Len? He says, yes, it was lovely. And anyway, eventually it came out. I had to own up. And so I was in bother. I got a bit of a wallop. And that was it. But it was lovely, that rice pudding. I mean, things were rationed and we just got so much butter, so much sugar, so much margarine. Oh, and I never liked margarine. And bananas. Now, you couldn't get bananas. And bananas were, we loved bananas. When Eli Harrison, the shop on the main road, Aberford Road, he got some bananas in. Of course, everybody told everybody, Eli Harrison's got some bananas. Quick, get down there, you know, so running. Mum, can we have some bananas from Eli Harrison's? Yes, so we all rushed down, and we took you, but he only let, you know, he shared them out. And then, of course, when it was fruit time from the trees in the village, such as apples and pears and that, because Angus's farm used to sell them. And, well, you got them cheap. Although, us girls used to go watch out while the boys pinched them from the orchard on Alton Lane there, Angus's orchard.
Just tell me where the orchard was in relation to what's there now. We know where the Nookin is.
Yes, well, dead opposite.